Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, and we will consider ourselves no longer in business meeting, so we appreciate your help. I've got a couple of announcements right after church, so don't let me forget. I'll just wait and make them later. Mark chapter number 10. Give you just a moment to find it. Mark chapter 10, this is the 50th lesson that we've been in the book of Mark. Lesson number 50. We're going to read starting in verse number 23 down through verse number 31. The Bible said, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus looking upon them saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." And this says, if you have a Scofield Bible, it says, "The Warning Against Riches." That's a pretty good title we could take tonight. I would add one word to it. I would say the warning against trusting in riches, because that's what it's talking about. And it's warning against trusting in riches. And the Bible has a great deal to say about riches and about poor and about, for example, the word rich is in the Bible 81 times. The word riches is in the Bible 98 times. The word poor is in the Bible 205 times. And the word poverty is in the Bible 15 times. And then there's a lot of other words that are associated with that, such as covetousness, wealth, money, substance, possessions, beggars. There's all kinds of words that are common with that. And so the Bible has a great deal to say about money, about having it and not having it. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible along these lines is probably 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 10, the Bible said, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And a lot of people that don't know anything about the Bible, they know that verse, "For the love of money." You might hear somebody say, "Well, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil." So that's a very well-known verse. The Bible has a lot to say about riches. Then another well-known story in the Bible is the story or the account that we read about in the Bible of the rich man and Lazarus, who was the beggar. Luke chapter number 16, and that's not a parable, by the way. Jesus said there was a certain rich man. We don't know what his name was, but it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus, he was a beggar. He was poor. And the dogs came and licked his sores. I mean, he was in bad shape. But the Bible said that the rich man also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. And the rich man, he died and he went to hell. And Lazarus, he died and he went to paradise. He went to Abraham's bosom. And you know how we are with things. We associate things with our mind. If you've ever heard that, and I know most probably everybody in here has heard about the rich man and Lazarus, we associate things. We associate that rich man died and he went to hell. The beggar, the poor man, he died and he went to paradise or heaven. Now, the rich man didn't die and go to hell because he was rich. And Lazarus the beggar didn't go to heaven because he was poor. But we associate rich, bad, evil. He died and went to hell. Lazarus, poor, beggar, dogs coming and licking on him. He died. See, people associate rich, bad, poor, good, go to heaven. You know, we just associate things in our mind. Here in Mark chapter 10, last week we looked at verses 17 down through verse number 22. And we read about a rich young ruler. Verse number 22, the Bible said, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." And so here is a rich man. Here is a man that had a lot of possessions, and he didn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he did come to him, but he went away. He went away lost. He went away because that he had these great possessions. So we tend to associate things in the Bible, rich, poor. We tend to think about one thing and another. You know, in a lot of stories, a lot of movies, a lot of literature, the rich man is a villain. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you think about a lot of things. You know, around Christmas, the Christmas story comes around, and everybody knows about old Ebenezer Scrooge. What a bad guy he was. What an evil man he was. We associate, and just to be honest tonight, a lot of rich people are wicked. A lot of rich people get that way by doing things that are unjust, that are sinful, we might say. Some of the young people, they may not know about the Scrooge, but they know about, when I was growing up, we used to read comic books. And Spider-Man and his arch-nemesis, his number one enemy was the Green Lantern. And, you know, Spider-Man, he's just a poor little boy that got bit with a spider. But the Green Lantern, the evil part, he's the guy, his dad was rich and he grew up in a mansion. And there's all kinds of stories like that. Seems like the rich person is the villain and the poor person many times is the hero. And we think about things like that. The fact is tonight that riches are neither good nor bad. Riches or money is what we call amoral, which that means that it's neither good nor bad. You can do a lot of good with money. You can do a lot of bad with money. But money is just a thing. It has no soul. It has no personality in and of itself. What matters is our heart relationship towards money or with money. And that's what is being warned about here in Mark chapter number 10, the warning against trusting in riches. It's our heart. The love of money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Not just money, but the loving of it. And you love something with your heart. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, "Boy, you don't want to end up in the preacher's sermon"? Well, this young man that we looked at last week, the rich young ruler, that's exactly what he did. He ended up in the preacher's message. He ended up being an example that the Lord Jesus Christ turned around and used. Now, let's look back in verse number 22, Mark chapter 10, verse 22. The Bible said, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Verse 23, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And so here's an object lesson right in front of their eyes. You know, the best illustrations are the personal ones. And here's a personal illustration. The disciples were right there. They heard what had been said. They saw this rich young man come to the Lord Jesus and ask him, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus told him, he said, "Go and sell everything you've got and give it to the poor." And no doubt they seen the countenance of that man, and he got to thinking about all of his riches and all his possessions, and no doubt they seen his countenance fall. Then they seen that young man made a decision in his mind, and he turned and he went away sorrowful. And no doubt the disciples could still see him with his back turned going down the road. Well, you talk about ending up in the preacher's sermon. He ended up in the preacher's sermon. And so that's when the Lord Jesus in verse 23 looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And if you notice there in verse 23, there's an exclamation point on the end of that. The Lord Jesus said this with emphasis, what he said in verse number 23. Now I want to say just a little bit about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is mentioned three times in these verses. Kingdom of God is mentioned in verse 23, verse number 24, and verse number 25. And a lot of times we get the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven mixed up in the Bible. It may help you to remember it like this. The kingdom of God is spiritual. Jesus said in John chapter number 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is physical. It's earthly. When it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. And in Matthew chapter number 13, there's the parables, the kingdom parables it's called. And it keeps saying the kingdom of heaven is like unto. The kingdom of heaven is like unto. And the kingdom of heaven is going to take place upon this earth. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth the first time, he offered that kingdom unto the Jewish people and they rejected the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of God is spiritual. Now, there are some places in the Bible where it seems like they are used interchangeably. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you're in the kingdom of God. And you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. So there will be a time when the kingdom of God is in the kingdom of heaven, and sometimes they're used that way in the Bible. But it's nothing we need to be confused about or upset about. And he's talking here when he's talking about the kingdom of God, and riches keeping people out of the kingdom of God. He's talking here about being saved. Now, for example, in verse number 17, the subject is being saved. And verse number 17, the rich young ruler said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Verse number 26, the disciples said, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They're talking here about being saved when it's talking about the kingdom of God. Then in verse number 30, but Jesus said, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. He's talking about being saved. Riches hinder people from being saved. When people are trusting in their riches, it keeps them many times from coming into the kingdom of God. And so there's an example in verse number 23. This young man, he ended up in the preacher's sermon. And verse number 24, the Bible said, and the disciples were astonished at his words. Now when the Lord Jesus said what he said in verse number 23, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? They were astonished, the Bible said. The disciples were astonished at his words. When the Bible says they were astonished at his words, what that means is they thought among themselves, wow, I can't believe he said that. They didn't understand that. That didn't make sense to them. They were astonished at his words. And then it goes on in verse 24, it said, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them, and he clarifies right here, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So at first they were amazed. They didn't understand. They were astonished. Then he goes on further and he said, children, he's talking to the disciples here, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is not riches that condemns a person. It is not riches that keeps a person from going to heaven, but it is them that trust in riches. A lot of people think because that they are rich that somehow that makes them good. And people in general out here, I would say society at large, the attitude in the world is, well, if somebody's rich, well, the Lord sure has blessed them. If somebody is poor, wonder what they did to deserve that. I'm talking about the attitude of the world, that people would just look and think that. Think that in their minds. If somebody is rich, well, evidently they're in the favor of God. Evidently they did something good to deserve all that they've got. But a poor person out here, well, they must have done something wrong. Isn't that the way the world thinks? And I believe the disciples had a little bit of that thinking in their mind going on as well, because they couldn't understand that the Lord was saying that it was hard for a rich person to go to heaven. If we really read and believe God's word like we should, it'll turn what we think upside down. Just because somebody's rich doesn't mean they're good or in God's favor. Just because somebody's poor does not mean that they're not blessed or out of God's favor or that they've done something wrong. One of the greatest blessings in life might be that God would keep somebody poor so their heart would stay right. But somebody that's rich, the Bible says here, how hard is it? You ought to underline that. Children, how hard is it? It's not easy for them. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Then he said in verse number 25, now he's going on talking about the same thing. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now that's an interesting verse of scripture in the Bible. And I've looked at that and looked at that. I actually remember this being taught on when I was a little boy going to Sunday school. And I remember them teaching about this very thing, about it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And in our Sunday school lesson as a little boy, they had pictures. They had a picture of a city wall. And the way it was explained was, in ancient times there were doorways that were just made for men to go in and out of. And they were designed came to a point at the top, like an archway. And the Sunday school teacher took that lesson and described, now if a camel would go through that, the camel would have to get down on its knees and sort of crawl through that doorway. And I remember saying, now that's hard for a camel to do, but that's not impossible for a camel to do. But if you study your Bible, that is not what the Bible's talking about. That's the way I learned it. That's the way it was taught to me. But that is not what the Lord Jesus is saying here. What the Lord Jesus is saying here, if you study in what the verse actually means, the word needle there, it literally means a sewing needle. Now that's impossible. See, there's a difference there. Now I'm not a camel expert. I don't know anything about them. But in my little mind, I think maybe a camel could get down on all fours in some way, crawl through a door, even if it was a two-humpback camel. He'd have to duck three times, once for his head, once for his first hump, and once for his last one. But I guess that's possible. But it is impossible for a camel to pass through the eye of a sewing needle. And that is what the Lord Jesus was saying here. And as I've studied about this, it was actually in Jesus' day, it was a proverb. It was something that was in common use, that people would say something like this, and they would use that expression to express something that was impossible to do. It was also in common usage during that time that people would say, they would use the phrase, an elephant to pass through the eye of a needle. Jesus said, for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. But it was a proverb. It was a saying of that day. And Jesus used that. Now, there's only one way to go to heaven. And it's the same for a rich man and a poor man alike. It does not matter. They will have to go by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is totally impossible to go to heaven any other way. A camel might get down and crawl through a door, and that might be possible, but it is impossible for a camel to pass through the eye of a sewing needle. Just like it is impossible to go to heaven any other way than by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. You cannot go to heaven any other way. It's impossible. You can't go to heaven by trusting in your riches. You cannot go to heaven by being a good person. You cannot go to heaven by joining the church or trying to keep the Ten Commandments. This young ruler in verses 17 through 22, when he was asked about the commandments, he said, all them things I've kept since my youth. He couldn't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. And he couldn't get to heaven by being a good person. Many, many are trying to climb up, trying to get there some other way. Jesus said in John 10 and 1, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. There's a lot of people trying to climb up some other way. Jesus said, if you don't come in through the door, you're a thief and a robber. You're not going to get there. He said in verse number 9, John chapter 10, verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty narrow, isn't it? There's no other way. No other way than by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he said in verse number 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about an impossible thing. And in verse number 26, they understood what Jesus was saying, and they were astonished out of measure. Now, the first thing he said, they were astonished at his words, verse 24. But in verse number 26, they were astonished out of measure. Boy, if their mouth fell open the first time, then the second time their teeth fell out. They were astonished out of measure. I can't believe the Lord is saying this. I can't believe he's saying these things. Because look what they said. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They realized the impossibility of a camel going through the eye of a sewing needle, that was totally impossible to do. So then they asked the question, well, who can be saved? Who then can be saved? Nobody can be saved if that's what it takes. And then verse number 27 is, there's a lot of good preaching in verse number 27. The Bible said, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And so the Bible is not teaching that a rich man cannot go to heaven. But it's real hard for him. It's real hard for those that trust in riches, that think somehow maybe they're in special favor with God because they've got it so good. It's hard for them to see themselves as a sinner. It's hard for them to sometimes humble themselves. history and church history and just experience, you don't have to look far to find that it's the poor people of the world that accept the Lord Jesus Christ more easily. Where do the missionaries have success? Places where there's great poverty. If you don't have anything, then you're not far from humbling yourself. You're already humbled. But if you've got everything, and you've got power, and you've got money, and you've got prestige, and people looking to you and calling upon you, and desiring to be around you, it's hard for that person to humble themselves and just come like a sinner, like everybody has to come. So it's hard for a rich person. A rich person can be saved. I looked and looked. I've read this a few different times over the years, and it was one of the queens. I don't know which one, but she was a Christian. I think it was one of the queens of England down through the years, and she was a Christian, and she said something to the effect that she was glad that although the Bible taught not many rich will be saved, she said, I'm glad it doesn't say not any will be saved. Because some will be saved, but they've got to come the same way as everybody else. They've got to come by the way of the cross. They've got to come in repentance of faith and faith. They've got to come like the man in Luke chapter number 18. You remember the Pharisees came out there and prayed, and they said, God, I thank thee I'm not as other men. I'm not like this fella. When that fella prayed, Luke chapter 18, verse 13, he said he wouldn't even look up to heaven, but said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Gonna have to come that way. Gonna have to come that way, and it's hard. It's hard for a rich man to come that way. But you got to come in repentance and faith. It's not impossible. It is possible with God, because the Bible says, for with God all things are possible. Isn't that a blessing? Now we look at a lot of things and we say, I don't see no way. I don't see no way. But with God, there's a way. With God, all things are possible. There's a lot of good things we could think about that. Verse number 27. Now, we look on down the rest of these verses. Peter, he's a thinker. He's always thinking. His wheels are always turning, and it's not long until he says something. And so he says something in verse number 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Now that might seem selfish that Peter says that. But he sees the rich man, and he won't leave anything, the rich young ruler. And then he sees what the Lord Jesus has said about the rich here. And Peter gets thinking, and I think maybe he's asking the question, well, we've left everything. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? He's asking the Lord. And that might seem selfish at first that he asks that, but the Lord doesn't rebuke him here. The Lord answers him. Is it worth it? Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. He's saying, Lord, is it worth it? And the Lord answered him, beginning in verse number 29. And I thought about separating these verses out and just dealing with them separately next week, but I believe we can get a real good answer here. Is it worth it to leave all and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. And the disciples, they had left everything. I mean, they had fishing business. They had boats. They had family. They'd left all them things. They forsook their nets. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, there's nobody left all these things, house, brethren, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands. Look what the Bible says, for my sake and the Gospels. You ought to underline that. Lord Jesus said, for my sake and the Gospels. They had put their whole life, their whole heart into it. Now, you know how crazy or how rough life can be just on the job. You get to working and you get to going and you get to doing, and my goodness, is it worth it? That's just for a job. We're not talking about just something like that, but we're talking about for the Lord and the gospel's sake. Verse number 30, he goes on, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And notice he adds something here, with persecutions. The disciples had left all, but what they'd left, they'd gained back in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've had a lot of people down through the years, they've said, well, since I got saved, my family doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. But my church family is closer than my blood family ever was. You ever heard anybody say that? I've heard a lot of people say that over the years. He shall receive an hundredfold, the Lord Jesus said, now in this time. That's right now. Houses and brethren and sisters. I've got a lot of brethren, not just one. I've got one brother in the flesh. But I've got a lot of brothers and a lot of sisters. And I've got a lot of fathers and I've got a lot of mothers in God's big family. A hundredfold. You say, I don't know about that, a hundredfold. Count up all your brothers, sisters, mothers, and fathers in your church family. It wouldn't take long to get to 100. The Lord said, is it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. Now, the disciples, they had persecutions as well. And the Bible told, Paul told Timothy, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We may have persecution in this life, in this time. But notice the Lord Jesus, he answers him in verse 29, verse number 30. He contrasts now in this time, that's the beginning of verse number 30. Is it worth it? It's worth it now in this time. But it is also worth it, he said, and in the world to come, eternal life. It's worth it now and then. Then it's going to be even better than it is now. I mean, we mope around sometimes like, you know, our best friend died. But God's good. God's good to us now. But boy, in the world to come, it's going to be a whole lot better. Now, we have eternal life now. If we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. If you're saved tonight, you have eternal life. But you don't have life eternal. Because in this body, we're all going to die. But in the world to come, we're going to, I guess you might could say, we're going to cash in on that eternal life business. We're going to live in the world to come. We're never going to have to worry about dying. Isn't that going to be good? To live in a world, in a body, and have nothing but perfect health and never worry about dying. And enjoy all the good of the land and all the blessings of the Lord in the millennial reign. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're going to really get to enjoy this thing we talk about, eternal life. To live and never have to worry about dying. Isn't that going to be a blessing? Is it worth it? Oh, it's worth it now. I wouldn't trade it now. But in the world to come, we're really going to appreciate, I believe, a whole lot more what the Lord has really done for us. Because we've been through many of us will go through, and many of the saints of God have already gone through the valley of the shadow of death, but in the world to come, we won't even have to worry about that. What a blessing that's going to be. And so Peter said, we've left everything. Is it going to be worth it? You better believe it is. And then I ended up like this last week with verse number 31. He said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last first. The way things are now in this world are not going to be the way that they are always going to be. The ones on the top now, if they even go to heaven, are going to be on the bottom. The ones on the bottom is going to be on the top. The ones at the end of the line is going to be put at the front of the line. And the ones that's always been at the front is going to be at the very last. The Lord's going to change the way things are. It's going to be a completely, totally different world. And I like what it says there, in the world to come. In the world to come. That's talking about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1,000 years, we're going to get to enjoy that. So sometimes you might say, well, is it worth it all? Is it worth it? A lot of going. I was talking with Kim this morning, this past few weeks, and this coming week, there is so much going on. Is it worth it? If it's for His sake and the gospel's, oh yeah, it's worth it. It's well worth it. So, a lot of good things there. The warning against riches. And so, a lot of good instruction in the Word of God. I hope that'll be a help. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. I'm enjoying this, Lord willing. We'll go on next week into verse number 32. But I really appreciate you coming out tonight. And